Liberty Live is on the road. We're in Vail, Colorado to catch up with our guest before she speaks at an event here. You'll remember Kayleigh McEnany is the White House press secretary who expertly handled a room full of antagonistic journalists. And you see her on Fox News every day as the co-host of Outnumbered. Well, she's got a book coming out in December that you'll want to know about. And she is mom to the most adorable little girl in the world, Blake. Hi, Kayleigh.
Thank you. Yes, she is adorable. I was just with her yesterday. She's the best. It's a good age, 1 year and 8 months.
It's fun to follow you guys on Twitter and see what you're up to. I have to admit, I was impressed over and over again when you were working as White House press secretary. You'd be up there at the podium, and the same thing happened over and over again. A reporter would take something completely out of context, and then they'd start setting up the gotcha question. And then you would look at them with this look that basically said, if you were in the South, it would say, bless your precious little heart. And then you'd look down at the notebook, and then you start flipping through the tabs. And when they finally did something that approximated a question, you would blow them up over and over again. Well, here's the question in the middle of that. What was going on in your head in the middle of that every time you had to do that?
Yeah, well, look, you know, when I was observing the press corps for several years in the early years of the Trump administration, they resembled the interactions more of a debate rather than a true endeavor to ask a question, get an answer on behalf of the American people. I realized very quickly you're not really given a fair shot. My predecessor, Sarah Sanders, was incredible, did an amazing job, but I looked at the tough task that she had. Yeah. And when I took the job, I wanted to have a good working relationship with the press corps. I endeavored to give that relationship a chance. But quickly, as I tried to give it a chance, the questions were as hostile to me as they were to my predecessor, Sarah, and to Sean Spicer and others. And so, you know, it was in my view that if I brought forward a contention or an administration policy that, unlike I would argue a Democrat counterpart that kind of gets the softball questions, I would need to have footnotes. I approached it the way I would an Oxford tutorial. I spent a year at Oxford where you had to defend your 10-page paper, yeah, sentence by sentence. You were stopped and had to defend everything you said. So when I brought a Trump administration policy to the podium, I felt it was incumbent upon me to deliver the American people not just the top line, but the facts to back up exactly what I was saying, because I knew for certain that I would be challenged on any policy that we put forward.
Yeah. How do you listen and flip through the book at the same time?
Yeah, that was tough, but basically, you know, and when you're first getting the question, it's a good question that you ask. You can kind of see the direction it's going, not that I was ever asked a question about this, not to my recollection at least. Operation Legend, for instance, a crime initiative in DOJ, when you hear the buzzword, you can kind of assume with the liberal press corps the negative direction they're going to take the question. So we spent hours in my office, sometimes starting at 7 a.m. with my two closest advisors, Julia and Chad, anticipating the question, and we were pretty good, oftentimes identifying a harder question than what was even asked. So there, it was very predictable in that I knew the negative leaning of the question. So when you hear the buzzword, you kind of knew you could just start flipping and you knew what they were going to ask because it was fairly predictable.
So how do you maintain your cool in the middle of that?
Honestly, my faith. I mean, I would say I come from an academic background where back when I went to college at Georgetown, Harvard Law, Oxford, I feel like you could have really meaningful political discourse. It was obviously a liberal bent at many of these institutions, but at the same time, I felt that my professors respected my point of view, and you could really get into back and forth debates. So in that kind of setting, you learn to have a sense of decorum. Having grown up doing debate in high school, you have to have decorum. So I think I was trained to do that, but second, and probably more importantly, is faith. You know, there were some really hard times. A breaking news story would happen one time right at the moment I was supposed to have the press briefing. I think it was 1 p.m. that day. And all of a sudden, I mean, you can feel just your angst, your nervousness go up because you haven't had those hours and hours to prepare. And those are the days in particular, maybe when I would get on my knees in the bathroom at the White House and just say a little prayer before I went out there because, you know, cool amid conflict, I think, came from Christ more than anything else.
Very good. We've seen a dramatic and I think a dangerous shift in the way that major mainstream news outlets handle reporting on the White House. Used to, I mean, they were terribly biased. We'll assess that. We'll assume that. But they would at least say, well, this side says this and that side says that, you know, and put the story out there. But the shift in the last couple of years is they're now making an assessment of what's true and what's not true, what's good and what's bad, and reporting that as news. What's ahead for us if that trend continues?
Well, the trend is continuing. You have some really good reporters, Peter Ducey among them with Fox News, obviously where I work, ask always a tough question, a fair question, but a tough question. Phil Wegman from Real Clear Politics, and that's what the press secretary deserves. You know, I didn't want to go out there and just have a cakewalk questions. That's the American people deserve real scrutiny. That's what journalism is, but not scrutiny that edges on insanity. You know, look at some of the questions that have been asked now in the White House press corps. They've asked about the Joe Biden cat. They've asked about the Joe Biden's dog. Yeah. They asked the first press briefing. One of the questions was, what did it feel like for President Biden to sit in the Oval Office? I know he's been wanting this for so long. These are questions I would never be asked as press secretary, nor do they serve the interests of the American people. But the American people see through it. The Edelman Trust Barometer has trust in media at its lowest point since they've been taking this metric. They surveyed, I think it was anywhere from, it was either 26 or 46 countries, and the U.S. media ranked last in trust. So people are smart. They see the difference. They recognize it, and then they just research and search for truth themselves.
You've got a book coming out in December, and the title of it is from the Book of Esther. It's called For Such a Time as This, My Faith Journey Through the White House and Beyond. Now, historically, most people, when they come out of the White House, they write a purely political book, an insider's view and all that, but you decided to write one that's in the context of your faith and how that helped you through the years in the White House. Why is that? What's your goal with that?
It's my goal to show the American people how instrumental Christ was in my life and in my journey, and put it, pulling that out further, how instrumental he can be in the life of the reader, or in this case, the viewer. You know, I remember getting the job. It really came as a surprise. At the time, I was President Trump's campaign press secretary. It was in the middle of a global pandemic. This was in March when I got a call from the president, President Trump, saying, hey, would you be interested in being my press secretary? It really caught me by surprise. I said, absolutely, and it took a few weeks, but the chief of staff got it done, and I officially got the offer, and immediately grew nervous at what lay ahead. You know, you're in the middle of a global pandemic. As I going up to a podium where for 400 days there had not been a White House press briefing from a press secretary. They had had the coronavirus task force briefings, but not a proper press briefing from a press secretary. And I grew nervous whether this is something that I could do. I knew that God had put me there for a reason. And that's when my dad said to me, maybe you were made for such a time as this, obviously from the Book of Esther. And then it was a Democrat commentator who texted me and said, hey, Kaylee, maybe you were meant for such a time as this, separately from my dad. And it just, that was kind of an animating theme through my time at the White House. That, you know, I didn't know that beyond the pandemic, we would have riots through the country, you know, racial tensions, the horrific murder of George Floyd, so much more of an election. You know, there is so much more on the horizon than just that. But each step of the way, my faith took me through. And I know each person watching this, you're here for such a time as this. You just got to figure out why God put you here, and he will lead your path, even if it seems insurmountable.
Do you see parallels between your life and that of Esther?
Not in the sense of she did a lot more than me, and that she saved the Jewish people, standing, you know, up to a king. So she's, I think, a little more instrumental in history, but I think her story is a story for us all, whether it is your role to be a deacon in your church and bring people to Christ, a pastor, a president, in the case of President Trump, press secretary for me. However big or small that may rank in the earthly ranking of, you know, what people at respect on earth or what people treasure on earth, in the eternal scheme, when you achieve what Christ put you here for such a time as this for, you're doing so much more good. And I know I'm going to meet a lot of people in heaven who achieve that same goal, maybe not press secretary, president, but in their roles and their respective locations.
First Liberty Institute is a nonprofit law firm that exclusively does religious freedom cases. That's all we do. You have a unique perspective on that particular area of law, given that you're a Harvard law grad. You've been the White House press secretary, and now you've got a book coming out about your faith in the White House. When you look at our nation, where are we as far as religious freedom, and what's ahead?
Yeah, I think we were in a very good spot with President Trump. I mean, three Supreme Court justices, 54, I believe it was, appellate judges, you know, shifting the balance of several appellate courts across the country, 174 federal court judges. He treasured and prized religious freedom, leading Mark Thiessen, my colleague at Fox, to say, hey, this may be the most pro-religion president ever, and I think that's the case. When you compare that with President Biden, I'm very nervous about where we are. You know, his State Department has come out and said religious freedom is, you know, a human right, but it's one among many, you know, kind of undermining the notion that religious Liberty is a pre-political right. It is embedded from Christ. It's a natural right. And I think that that's been undermined. You look at abortion and the Mexico City policy, which is returning Hyde Amendment left out of President Biden's budget. And I just think on a number of fronts, it's at risk. But that being said, I think there's going to be a sea change in this country. I think 2022 looks very good for Republicans. And I think President Trump has given us such a stalwart in the judiciary that no matter if President Biden doesn't cherish religious liberty the same way as President Trump, there's a life tenure for federal judges across this country that is here to stay to safeguard those rights. And I hope there's a correction as we get to 2024 in terms of the presidency.
And there's an effort right now by the Biden administration. They've got a commission that's looking at ways to, I do air quotes if I didn't have my hands occupied, to reform the Supreme Court. When you consider the idea of adding extra seats to that court, what do you think? What's your assessment?
I'll quote President Biden. It's a boneheaded idea, yeah, which is what President Biden once said. You know, we've had nine justices going back to the 1800s. When FDR tried to pack the court, it was President Biden that said this was autocratic rule, or I'm approximating what he said, but he used the word autocratic, boneheaded idea. And now all of a sudden it becomes a great idea when the quest is not out of principle changing the makeup of the court, it's out of a quest for power. So this commission he set up, 180 days to look at the courts, it's 2-1 liberal conservative. I think 80% of the folks on this commission are from Harvard or Yale, not dismissing my former alma mater, Harvard, but not necessarily representing the viewpoints of a wide array of people across the country. So I don't think they'll end up doing it. There'd be tremendous backlash. Only 34% of Americans support packing the courts. But hey, boneheaded idea. I wish Biden stuck to his first assessment of packing the court.
Recently, you were watching the Cinderella movie. I told you I'd have hard-hitting questions. And you posted a quote from Cinderella. You said, "Have courage and be kind." You said Blake had fallen asleep by then. But yeah, when you quoted that, why does that resonate with you, the idea of having courage and being kind?
Well, I think, look, we as Christians, we have to stand up to what we're seeing across the country. We have to have courage. And at First Liberty, you know, I wrote in my previous book a whole chapter on the great work First Liberty does. And these Americans across the country, be it a valedictorian that wants to say the words Christ in her speech, or, you know, a member of the military who wants to unfurl the American flag at a retirement ceremony and reference God, these individuals, with the help of First Liberty, have shown courage. But I think there's a way of showing courage and being kind. And the being kind part comes with our Christian softness that Christ has put in us to be bold and courageous, but at the same time be kind and recognize injustice when you see it. I remember one of my most emotional days in the White House was after the murder of George Floyd, when we met with families that had lost their loved ones to instances with a police officer. And I'm a very pro-police person, but I'll never forget the crying face of some of these mothers, one of whom I hugged and told her I was going to pray for her. So we need to recognize injustice and loss where we see it as Christians. It's part of being kind and being just, but we also need to have courage when it comes to religious liberty being challenged. And I think First Liberty does a really good example at having courage and kindness all in one.
Well, thank you for that. Anything else you want to share before I let you go?
Just that, you know, I forever will be grateful for what President Trump did. Pro-religion president we've ever had, safeguarding the right to life. I think he surprised a lot of people. It surprised a lot, the media certainly, when Christians showed up and voted for him in 2016. Took everyone by surprise, but Christians recognized that they had a warrior for the causes they believed in, who promised to protect faith and freedom, and he did just that. So it's the honor of my lifetime to work for him. He was a great boss, and I look forward to what's next for the Republican Party. I have a very positive view for what's on the horizon. So, you know, I know 2020 was upsetting to many, but 2022 is looking really positive.
When the book comes out, will you come back and chat with us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. It'll be out in December, so that'd be great. We'll set that up.
And you're still working on it, is what I hear.
Yes, that's right. So we've got the draft in, fine-tuning the changes, the guts are there. We just need to make sure it's just perfect ahead of that December release date.
Very good. Yeah. Kayleigh McEnany, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you. Great to join you.
Remember to click the subscribe button on firstlibertylive.com. We'll let you know when new episodes are released. And download our free app to your phone. It makes it easy to watch, or you can listen to just the audio like a podcast. We'll see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.